Let me know when you're fired. I'm on. We're good. So this is the United States in prophecy number two. You know, prophecy is very important. You're living in the last days. You're living in the days where you are going to see things happen in your lifetime. Unless, of course, you die prematurely before your time. You're living in the days. You're going to see things happen. People wonder why we talk about the rescue of the saints so much. Because right now, Jesus and the Father are making a decision who gets rescued and who has to stay behind and learn why they needed to get rescued. Amen? The rescue doesn't come to everybody. It's because you claim Jesus as your Savior. There are actions on your part required after that. And a lot of folks don't want to make those. So you're living in days where it is profoundly important, prophecy and what's going to happen. You're living in an age where you have to know. You have to know where the U.S. is. Because you see, you live in this land. Amen? How many of y'all are going to be moving out of the United States anytime soon? All right, well, then you better know what's going to happen in the United States then. Amen? That way you can avoid some of what's coming, and maybe you can get rescued and miss the rest of it. But you'll also know how to pray for your loved ones who are left behind. See, because they're going to go through some stuff, and you need to pray for them that they can face up to what's coming. Where is the United States, and what will you face? We left off with the splitting of the nation of Israel. We talked about the covenants to Abraham, the covenants to Isaac, the covenants to Jacob, the covenants to Joseph. We talked about how Jacob put his name on the two boys of Joseph, Ephraim and Manasseh. His name, Israel, is on those two boys. So when you are looking in the prophets, when you're reading in Isaiah, when you're reading in Jeremiah, when you're reading in Ezekiel and Dan, and you see the term House of Israel, you see the term Ephraim, my firstborn son, that refers to the 10 tribes who stayed in the north and were separate. Because that's where we left you in the last message, the separation of the 10 tribes from the 3 tribes in the south. Now, how do I say that? We're going to get into Jeroboam and what he did after the dividing of the house of Israel. Judah remained faithful. Always keep that in your mind. Faithful Judah. You read that all through the major prophets. Backsliding Israel, faithful Judah. The tribe of Benjamin remained, or part of the tribe, most of the tribe of Benjamin. See, what people don't realize is part of Benjamin had migrated to the sea. They were seafaring people. And during the time of Solomon, Hiram, king of Tyre, built a fleet of ships. And Hiram, king of Tyre, with his ships, and Solomon, with their ships, circumnavigated the globe. It's all in that book back there, The Lost Tribes Found. So a lot of the tribe of Benjamin became seafaring people on these boats. But part of them was in that space between Judah and Ephraim. Benjamin was nestled in there. So Benjamin stayed to the south, and a lot of the Levites left the northern tribes and came south, and we're going to find out why. Let's go to 1 Kings chapter 2. 1 Kings chapter 2, and let's take this up in the Bible. This is one of the most fascinating stories, what's happened. And you know, a lot of folks don't read this part of their Bible. Amen? There's a lot in the Bible we just don't read. And we wonder what's going on. Well, if you haven't read it, how are you going to know? That's why we teach you to read your whole Bible from Genesis to maps. Amen? Don't pick and choose what you like. Yeah, you have your favorite parts, and when you're in a dire situation, you go back to those because you need comfort. But you need to have a daily program of study to start in Genesis 1:1 and end up in Revelation 22. And you read so much a day. You know, the one that worked for me the best was 30 minutes a day, rain, sun, or shine. If you'll do that, you'll get through it, and you will gain so much knowledge, it'll blow you away. The story of the Bible is more fantastic than anything you've ever been taught in church. 2 Kings 2. I'm sorry, 2 Kings 12. I can't read my own writing. Need my glasses. Verse 20. No, I didn't bring any. Yeah, y'all got me this wonderful new Bible, and I could actually see it from the pulpit because the pulpit's a right distance away. Yesterday when I was sitting down, it was too close. Verse 20. When all of the Israelites heard that Jeroboam had returned, they sent and called him over the assembly and made him king over Israel. That's not Judah. That's king over Israel. The northern tribes that are in rebellion to the house of David to this day, the one you're living in. And only the tribe of Judah remained loyal to the house of David. So the tribe of Judah is remaining loyal to the son of Solomon. And the 10 northern tribes have set up another man, a commoner, over them as king. When Rehoboam arrived in Jerusalem, he mustered the whole house of Judah and the tribe of Benjamin, 180,000 fighting men, to make war against the house of Israel. The Jews are fighting the Israelites. You see that right here in your Bible, right? To regain the kingdom for Rehoboam, son of Solomon. But this word of God came to Shimei. I can't pronounce that. I'm from the south, y'all. I just some rings like won't work. The man of God, say to Rehoboam, son of Solomon, king of Jehuda, to the whole house of Judah and Benjamin and to the rest of the people, this is what the Yahweh says. Do not go up and fight against your brothers. To the Israelites, go home, every one of you, this is my doing. So they obeyed the word of the Lord and they went home again as Yahweh ordered. The Lord split the kingdom. This was the Lord's doing. Now you have Israel in the north, who are dominated by the tribes of Ephraim and Manasseh. And you have Judah to the south. I know there's a reason I love the Jews. They're southerners. They're in the Southland. Hey, you know the saying, if heaven ain't like Dixie, I don't want to go? Come on, I'm cutting up, man. So you've got Ephraim, the leading tribe, brother Manasseh, running the northern 10 tribes. You have brother Judah, who is known to this day. These people did something God really, really liked. And so they are known to you this day after all of these thousands of years of persecution. Almost 3,000 years of persecution, trials, troubles, ever. The devil has done all he can to stamp them out. But it's the thing they did for God that he has preserved them and will to the end. These two nations will not exist on the day Jesus sets his feet on the Mount of Olives, but this one will. Amen? And it's something we're not doing that they are. And we're going to get into some of that today. Now, I wanted to go over it again. Faithful Judah, backsliding Israel. Okay? Now look at here. The scepter belongs to Judah. We read that out of Genesis. The scepter promise includes the kingly line of David. And the next time we do this, part three, we're going to talk about the kingly line of David and where they exist and where they are now and how God worked it all out. There are a lot of prophecies. He said, if you can break my covenant with the sun, the moon, and the stars, you can break my covenant with David, that he will never fail to have a man before me ruling over the house of Israel. God got her done, baby. And it's the most interesting story in your Bible. They also get the promise of the Mashiach. Okay? This is why you can't get a Jewish person saved, because the Mashiach you present to them is not the one in their Bible. And they're not going to listen to you. But if you'll present to them the one that in their Bible, they will listen. They'll be kind of looking at you funny, but they will listen to you. Because the Mashiach is from Judah. The Mashiach is from Judah. The birthright belongs to Joseph. National greatness, national prominence, power, might, military victory, stupendous national wealth. No nations have ever had it like these two nations. The sun never set on the British Empire. The sun never set on the British flag at one point. They had territory everywhere and stupendous wealth. Gold was nothing in London in the 1890s. Nothing. They call their bonds gilts to this day, because in the time of the 1890s, in the late Victorian era, they actually put gold leaf on the bonds. And they were so good, they were called gilts. They're still called gilts. Let's listen to any financial show on CNBC or any of the others. They talk about British bonds. They're called gilts. And of course, before we started, we talked about the stupendous national wealth that's never been equaled by any nation. The cattle on a thousand hills, gold and silver like it's nothing. Wealth and power and might beyond anything ever given to this nation right here. If only we would praise God for it. If we praise God for it, we might get to keep it. But since we're praising our wealth instead of praising God, the good bet is we're going to lose it. Now, drop on down here to chapter 11. Go back to chapter 11, verse 37. God told Jeroboam something, and he didn't pay any attention to it. Am I still up here? Yeah. God told Jeroboam something he didn't pay attention. If he had, it might have solved a lot of, saved a lot of people a lot of heartache. Chapter 11, verse 37. However, as for you, I will take you and you will rule over all that your heart desires. You will be king over Israel, the northern tribes. If you do whatever I command you, if you will do whatever I command you, and walk in my ways, and do what is right in my eyes, by keeping my statutes and commandments, as David my servant did, I will be with you. And I will build you a dynasty as enduring as the one I built for David, and will give Israel to you. I will humble David's descendants because of this, but not forever. Solomon worshipped other gods, and this was a time of humbling the line of David, because Solomon disobeyed the laws of God. Jeroboam was told, if you will keep my Torah, if you will live by the statutes, decrees, the laws, the rules that I gave you in my Torah, I will make you great. But they didn't do it. You know, as I said in another message, I wrote myself out by hand a book of the law. I wrote out for myself by hand all the rules in the Torah. It's 17 legal pages in my handwriting, which is not all that great. There aren't that many rules in the Torah for you to live by. A lot of them are concerning slavery and how you are to treat human beings that are slaves, because God wants everybody treated well. They're human beings. They're made in His image. They're to be treated well. Most of what's in the Torah is how to decide disputes between people. We've lost that because we don't want to follow His righteous ways. How to keep the blood guilt off of the land. How to handle the land so that the land will produce. There's nothing in the Torah that's a burden. There's nothing in the Torah that's hard to do. And as we cover in the book we just passed out, the Torah is going to guarantee your blessing. How many things will guarantee your bank account? Come on now. We're talking about FDIC insurance, but if your bank fails, it might take you 5 years to collect your money. Most of y'all didn't know that. They don't just open the windows up 3 days after it closes. It might take you years to get your money back if a bank closes. But God guaranteed your prosperity in perpetuity if you would just live by His laws. The tribe of Yehuda's had its problems, but they've preserved the Torah. The only reason we have a Torah is because they preserved it. And you know what? Us Christians owe them a tremendous debt of gratitude because we persecuted them to death so many times to get them to burn the Torah. And they kept it up out of faithfulness and loyalty to God. And we owe them for that. We owe them. We would not even have a Torah to read in the first part of your Bible. You would not have Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and Daniel if they hadn't kept it at point of death. We owe them. We owe them big. We owe them big. All right. We don't want to obey. They didn't obey. We don't want to obey. They're rebellious. We're so rebellious in the South, we call ourselves rebels. Uh-oh. Way down south, in the land of cotton, old times there are not forgotten. Look away, look away, look away, Dixieland. Hey, I love the South too, but let's face it, we are rebels. We don't like to obey. We don't like being told what to do. The minute somebody tells us something to do, that ornery thing comes up in us. If that doesn't prove we're true Israelites, I don't know whatever will. I mean, you know what? I mean, the minute we're told we have to do something, sometimes we even know what we're being told is the right thing to do and we should do it anyway, but it just comes up. We can't help it. It's natural. Just that, I ain't going to do it. I mean, just immediately. We might repent in 20 minutes and wish we'd just gone ahead and done it right, but we can't help it. It just comes up. Come on now. Y'all know I'm talking to y'all. Stiff neck. If that don't prove we're Israelites, I don't know what is either. Look, if you go and meet with the temple, you'll find that they're wonderful people. They're nice, they're sweet, they're soft, they're easy to get along with. They're not like us, okay? We're the ones that are ornery and stiff-necked, hard-headed, don't want to do what we're told. Come on. Chapter 12, back to chapter 12, verse 26. Jeroboam thought to himself, the kingdom will now likely revert to the house of David. Now God promised him, if he would keep his commandments, that he would give him an enduring dynasty. So what does this dude do? Does he sit there and go, I'm going to be obedient to God and get what's promised me, because he told me. God told him straight to his face, come on y'all. And all of a sudden, this guy's saying, well, they're going to revert back to David if I go ahead and do what God told me. What do you got to have? If these people go up to offer sacrifices at the temple of the Lord in Jerusalem, they will again give their allegiance to their Lord, Rehoboam, king of Judah. They will kill me and return to Rehoboam. God sent a prophet, a known prophet. Now, God already promised this guy that he was going to tear the kingdom, and it happened exactly the way God said. And he commits the apostasy. Next verse. After seeking advice, I don't know where he got that advice from, but that's something he should have kept a lid on. You know what I'm saying? The king made two golden calves, and he said to the people, it's too much for you to go up to Jerusalem. Hear people already. It's too much for you to keep the feast. It's too much for you to follow the law of God. It's too much for you to live the way God told you. Here are your gods, O Israel, who brought you up out of Egypt. One he set up in Bethel. You know what? Bethel is where the name of God is carved in the rocks of the mountains. Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh is right there. It's literally the house of God. God put his name on the land right there. Bethel. Or Bethel, house of God. And he set up an idol right there on the spot, desecrating it. And one in Dan. And this thing became a sin. The people went as far as Dan to worship the one there. Jeroboam built shrines on the high places and appointed priests from the lowest of the people. That's why the Levites left. A lot of the Levites left because they were kicked out of their jobs and they went down to Judah because they were loyal to Yahweh. And they set up ruffians to be priests because the king could control them and do whatever the king told them to do. And you know, there's a story in the book of Judges where a family in Dan hired a priest. Instead of being a Levite and adjudicating the law of God the way he said, you come and be our priest. They ended up killing that guy when they got tired of him. That's why you can't set me up, because I won't do it. I'm going to do what Yahweh says, period. Right out of the book. You'll have issues at times, sure. But we'll get over them. I'm not changing from this. I can't. That's why I work for a living. My mortgage ain't going to be affected. Hey. Can't fire me because you didn't hire me. That's it, Miss Frieda. You tell it, girl. Even though they were not Levites. And he instituted a festival on the 15th day of the 8th month. Don't come up to Sukkot anymore. Don't come up and keep the Feast of Tabernacles in Jerusalem. We'll keep it in the 8th month. That's where you get Oktoberfest. Like the festival held in Judah and offered sacrifices on the altar. This he did in Bethel, sacrificing to the calves he'd made. And at Bethel he also installed priests at the higher places he had made. And on the 15th day of the 8th month, a month of his own choosing, he offered sacrifices on the altar he had built at Bethel. So he instituted the festival for the Israelites and went up to the altar to make offerings. Apostasy. Apostasy. Straight out of the box. The northern tribes turned from God the moment they separated. And they never went back. They never went back. God sent them prophets after prophets. You know, Elijah was sent to the northern tribes. He wasn't sent to Judah. He was not sent to Judah. The people in Judah were loyal and faithful to God. It was the northern tribes he was sent to because they were backsliding Israel, faithful Judah. Don't ever forget that as you go through prophecy. Now, they had their problems and they suffered for 70 years in Babylon, okay? And people talk about it. I hear it all the time. Well, that's not Paleo Hebrew. That stuff they got from Babylon is all wrong. Hey, yo, there I read in my Bible in Ezekiel where God himself says if Noah, Daniel, and Job were in the land, they would spare neither sons nor daughters but would escape with their own lives. Daniel, Ezra, and Nehemiah were the ones that set that stuff up they brought from Babylon. I will not be talking against those guys. Those are some strong guys, and I can't walk with them. Since I can't walk with them, I'm going to keep my... I'm not going to talk about what they brought from Babylon because those were some righteous men that set that up. You ain't talking about just anybody setting up what they brought from Babylon. Daniel, come on now. Daniel was in the lion's den. Huh? How many of y'all would have faced that tiger in the zoo last week? And come out alive, huh? Huh? Come on now. Hey, I can't walk with Daniel, so I'm not going to talk no junk about Daniel. Daniel set that up. Come on now, look at who. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Think about them boys now. They went in a fiery furnace. The guys that threw them in got burned up. There wasn't any smoke on those guys when they came out of there. Come on. These are the guys that set up what they brought out of Babylon with them. These are some righteous guys put the stuff together that you see in the temple today. Come on now. So I'm not going to talk about any junk about what they brought from Babylon. That's some good stuff. Obedience is what God wants. They would not follow it. And I'll tell you something else that's not listed here, but you can find this in history books. They also changed the day of worship from the seventh day to the eighth day, which becomes the first day, because you only got a 7-day week. So the eighth day is the first day. They changed the day of worship from Sabbath to Sunday, and they began to worship Baal, which Baal was always worshipped on Sunday. And, right, because he's a sun god, and they've been doing it to this day. When I was a kid, we had blue laws here. Couldn't buy jack. My dad went down, you could not buy notebook paper for your kid. I don't care, I'm talking about late in the evening, Sunday evening, 7, 8 o'clock, you could not buy notebook paper for school on Monday morning. Come on now. You couldn't buy eggs because you had to cook them. This is in Jackson, Tennessee, when I was a kid. So God gave His laws and His commandments. He gave His precious Sabbath day. He gave His Feast of Tabernacles, man. Look, the Feast of Tabernacles is all about the millennial rule of Jesus on earth, the Messianic kingdom restored to earth. When you disrespect that, you're dissing the kingdom of God. And they pushed it off to the eighth month, and you don't have to go up to Jerusalem anymore. Now, God told him He would guarantee His dynasty if he would follow His laws and commandments. He should have been the leader bringing the Israelites down to Jerusalem. But instead, he turned his back on God. Just like that, right out of the box. 1 Kings 14, verse 1. Hey, this gets heavy. This gets heavy. There's a reason why Elijah did what he did on Mount Carmel. It's because the people were trying to mix the worship of Yahweh with the worship of the pagan gods. It's called syncretism. We do it to this day in this country. It led them into national captivity and slaughter, and it will do the same for us. God says, do not trust the arm of a man. And we trust in our military arms. You know what? Yahweh don't care if we got the mightiest military on earth. When it comes time for His punishments, He says, I will blow the trumpet and nobody will go to the battle. Hey, that's in Ezekiel, Jack, talking about us. Somebody was asking about eschatology last week. We're going to get into some serious eschatology, probably after Passover. Because there's deep stuff in here. Chapter 14, verse 1. At that time, Abijah, son of Jeroboam, became ill, and Jeroboam said to his wife, go disguise yourself so that you won't be recognized as the wife of Jeroboam, and go to Shiloh. Shiloh's where the tabernacle was set up. Ahijah the prophet is there, the one who told me, I will be king over this people. So take 10 loaves of bread with you, some cakes and a jar of honey, and go to him, and he will tell you what will happen to the boy. So Jeroboam's wife did what he said, and went to Abijah's house in Shiloh. Now Abijah could not see because his sight was gone because of his age. And the Lord had told Ahijah, Jeroboam's wife is coming to ask you about her son, for he is ill, and you are to give her such and such an answer. When she arrives, she will pretend to be someone else. Tell me that's not Holy Ghost Church. Come on now, you say what you want to. Tell me that's not Holy Ghost Church. Hey, you get into the book of Kings, you see Pentecostal church going on in the Old Testament. Don't tell me they didn't have the Holy Spirit. It's right there. One of many, many, many times. So Ahijah heard the sound of her footsteps at the door, and he said, come in, wife of Jeroboam. Why this pretense? I've been sent to you with bad news. She walks in and gets called up front by the Holy Ghost right there on the spot. Nowhere to run and hide. She don't even know what's going on because she's a pagan idolater now. Go tell Jeroboam, this is what Yahweh, the God of Israel, says. I raised you up from among my people, made you a leader over my people, Israel. Notice Israel again. So I can't pound this into you enough. Judah in the south, Israel in the north. House of Judah, house of Israel. All Jews are Israelites, not all Israelites are Jews. You have to understand this because they went their separate ways. They had wars against each other on multiple occasions. Excuse me, right? The first place the word Jew is used in the King James Bible, the Israelites are fighting the Jews. First time the word is used in your Bible, that's what it says. I tore the kingdom away from the house of David and gave it to you, but you have not been like my servant David, who kept my commands and followed me with all his heart, doing only what was right in my eyes. See, he kept his commands. See, we've got to keep the commands of God. If you want to be the people of God in this modern day, you've got to keep his commandments, his statutes, his decrees, and his judgments, because this is the story of the Bible from Abraham all the way to Revelation. And if you don't, if you follow the rules of men instead of the rules of God, you're going to be like everybody else. You're going to deal with their punishments. You're going to go through their tribulations. The only way... Look, if you go to Revelation 12, it talks about the people that are rescued. They had the commandments of God and the testimony of Jesus. If you're not walking in the commandments of God, man, you got an issue. That includes all of them. The ones you don't like. Hey, we all got stuff in the Bible we don't like. Come on now. We in church. Everybody, you go to the Torah, you go, oh, Lord, why'd you got to put that in there? Everything was going good till you put that in there. Everyone has got those. Come on now. I got mine in there too. But we have to suck it up and be men and women of God and to say, even though I don't like the way God said to do it, I'm just going to do what He said. I'm going to kick that little ornery spirit, the southern spirit I got out into the curb, and I'm going to follow the Lord even though I don't like it. Come on, y'all. He told me what to do, and I'm going to get right with the program. You have done more evil than all who lived before you. Woo! Oh, you know, that's a hard word from God. You've done more evil than all those who lived before you. You've made yourself other gods, idols made of metal, and you've provoked me to anger and thrust me behind your back. Because of this, I'm going to bring disaster on the house of Jeroboam. I will cut off from Jeroboam every last male in Israel. Wow. I'm going to blot your whole record of your family out completely. None of you will ever see the light of day again. Slave or free, I will burn up the house of Jeroboam as one burns up dung until it is all gone. Tell me the Lord don't talk straight to you now. Come on, tell me the Lord doesn't talk straight to you. He just called this guy manure. Okay? I'm going to burn you up like manure. Dogs will eat those belonging to Jeroboam who die in the city, and the birds of the air will feed on those who die in the country. Yahweh has spoken. As for you, go back home. When you set foot in your city, the boy will die. All Israel will mourn for him and bury him. He is the only one belonging to Jeroboam who will ever be buried. Oh, that's hard. Because he is the only one in the house of Jeroboam in who the Lord, the God of Israel, has found anything good. That's hard, man. That's hard. The Lord will raise up for himself a king over Israel who will cut off the family of Jeroboam. This is the day. What? Yes, even now. And the Lord will strike Israel so that it will be like a reed swaying in the water. Because of this, the whole country is going to be struck and shaken to its core and brought down low. Look, when they left, the nation of Israel, the northern tribes, had the wealth, the best farmland, the trading, a treaty and alliance with Pharaoh and Hiram, king of Tyre. They had all the trading and all the wealth and all the money. The Jewish people were cut off when that happened. And God says, though you be mighty, I'm going to shake you like a reed is shaken in the water. I'm going to shake you right then and bring you low. He will uproot Israel from this good land that He gave to their forefathers and scatter them on the other side of the Euphrates River. You're going to suffer military defeat and be hauled off captive slaves beyond the Euphrates River. Right after Jeroboam did this. They didn't have to wait until 30 dynasties of kings had done all their sins. They were told right up front, because you have violated Sukkot, my Sabbath, and worshipped idols, I'm taking you out of here. You see it right in your Bible. Is that what it says? Am I telling you something that's not real? Is it in the Word here? Because they provoke Yahweh to anger by making Asherah poles, and He will give Israel up because of the sins of Jeroboam has committed and has caused Israel to commit. Then Jeroboam's wife got up and left and went to Tirzah, and as soon as she stepped over the threshold of the house, the boy died. They buried him, and all Israel mourned for him, as the Lord had said through His servant, the prophet Ahijah. Think about it, man. They're going captive because they refused to obey Yahweh God. He told them what He wanted to do, and they immediately went out and did the wrong thing. And it's over for them. Now, they're going to be in the land 390 years. More stuff is going to happen. But already they've lost the title to the land, and they're going to be taken away. They're going to be taken away. 1 Kings 16. verse 29. And I am going to have to start speeding it up. I'm hoping y'all are catching this. In the 38th year of Asa, king of Judah, Ahab, son of Omri, became king of Israel and reigned in Samaria over Israel 22 years. Ahab, son of Omri, did more evil in the eyes of the Lord than any of those before him. So Jeroboam was so bad that the country is going to have to go into captivity and slavery, and now Ahab comes in and he's worse than Jeroboam. Look, we're not talking about faithful Judah. We're talking about backsliding Israel. Okay? We're the ones. You're the descendants of the people that did this. And as we go through this series, you will see that ever so clearly. These people are the descendants of the ones that cleaved to the Lord of Israel, the God of Israel, and held fast to the covenant. Oh. And we're the ones that want to talk junk about them? We need to be telling these people how much we love them. Ain't that what the Lord said? The Lord said, "What you do unto the least of these, my brethren, you do unto me." We, as Christians, were given charge to take care of them, watch over them, keep them from harm. We didn't do a very good job, did we? Going to be some folks going to have an issue with the beam of judgment. Huh? Think about that one for a while. He not only considered it trivial to commit the sins of Jeroboam, son of Nebat, but he also married Jezebel, daughter of Ethbaal, king of the Sidonians, and began to serve Baal and worship him. He introduced Baal worship. It is a trivial thing to have those two golden calves. We're going to get right serious into paganism now. He set up an altar for Baal in the temple of Baal that he had built in Samaria. So he built a temple to Baal in the capital of the northern tribes. Ahab also built an Asherah pole and did more to provoke the Lord, the God of Israel, to anger than did all the kings of Israel before him. In Ahab's time, Hiel of Bethel rebuilt Jericho, something God said was never to be redone. He laid its foundation at the cost of its firstborn son, Abiram, and set up its gates at the cost of his youngest son, Segub, in accordance with the word Yahweh had spoken by Joshua, son of Nun. It is a downward spiral. We started out with Jeroboam right off the bat into sin and wantonness, and it's a downward spiral. You see, there's only two ways you can go, and that's why we constructed our church this way. It's either the lowest common denominator, which is a continual race to the bottom, or it's the highest common multiple in a continual race to reach up to God. And that's why we're always going for the highest common multiple we can find, because that's why we keep adding stuff and multiplying the power of God in the room, because that's the way to go, upward reaching towards God for His power, His presence, and His move in the hall. Otherwise, if you've got to always have the lowest common denominator, it's a straight shot down to the bottom, and it never quits, because someone's always going to come in with a lower denominator than the last person. You can count on that. You know why? Because the devil's going to send them. But if you're reaching for the highest common multiple, people are going to come in with better gifts and more things to add, more good things to worship God with His presence and His Spirit with, because God's going to send those. See, they went for the lowest common denominator, everybody racing to be worse than the one before them, relishing in wickedness. And it brought ruin and disaster on them to the point that they're gone. 2 Kings 13, verse 1. And I'm going to show you something in Exodus, of all places, that's going to show you why you don't know where they are right now. God said it all in the beginning. Amen? In the beginning. First five books tell you virtually the whole story. As a matter of fact, some rabbis have been able to lay it out all the way through the end of Revelation. Funny, the blessings on the tribes given by Jacob to his sons foretold what would be their lot in the last days. And that's at the end of Genesis. The end of Genesis tells you what you're looking at, the last days. So when you read the blessings on the tribes, you can look out in the world and say, what nation fits the bill? Because you're living in the last days. See? The end from the beginning. 2 Kings 13. Verse 1. In the 23rd year of Joash, son of Ahaziah of Judah, Jehoahaz, son of Jehu, became king of Israel and Samaria, and he reigned 17 years. He did evil in the eyes of the Lord by following the sins of Jeroboam, son of Nebat, which he had caused Israel to commit, and he did not turn away from them. See? This guy cut off the house of Ahab and the house of Jeroboam the first. And he still didn't turn. Every one of these guys, when they were anointed king, was promised the same thing. If you will walk in my statutes, my judgments, my laws, if you'll keep my commandments, if you'll live by my Torah, if you'll govern by my Torah, I will make you great in Israel. And every last one of them turned and went the wrong way. Every last one of them. We have to make sure as a people of God, we're walking after His commandments, His statutes, His judgments, His decrees. They're easy. They're easy. I do taxes for a living. The Internal Revenue Code is so complicated, nobody understands it. Money Magazine does a survey every single year where they ask 52 different people at the IRS the same tax question, and they always get 52 different answers. And you're supposed to try to figure out how to fill out your taxes? Yeah, right. The tax preparers can't figure out how to fill out your taxes. The IRS can't figure out how to fill out your taxes. Nobody knows how to fill out your taxes. We just hope we don't get audited. Amen? But the rules of God are simple and easy. Simple and easy. Treat people right. Jesus summed it up by saying, do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. The problem is, people like Jeffrey Dahmer got weird ideas about that. So you've got to have the Bible to lay out how you're supposed to treat your neighbor as you want to be treated. The rules are very simple and very easy. And you have some weirdos. How about the couple up in Washington last week that went in there and killed all of his family? Mom, dad, and all the brothers. Okay? God says, not Billy, God says that in order to purge the blood guilt from the land, the two people that committed the murders, once you've proved and ascertained for real, they must be executed. Not life in prison. Executed. Because it's their blood which makes the atonement for the murders they committed. Without that, the blood guilt remains on the land, and God said, I will vomit you out because of the blood guilt. Oops.
We're on our way out.
Oops. And we let so many murders go without ever making atonement for them. So guess what? We're going to get vomited out again. We're on our way out. Except it's a mighty long walk across that ocean. Come on, that's a long way to walk, y'all. Come on, hey, you can walk across the Euphrates. But I mean, you know, come on, think about coming out of here now. Coming out of here is not going to be easy. See, we don't really personalize it the way we need to. It's not going to happen to them again. Those people are dead. It's us that are looking at this stuff. Now, we talked about the last great day. I read you Ezekiel 37. It's these people right here that did all this stuff that are dead in the valley of dry bones saying our hope is lost. See what I'm saying now? Verse 3. So the Lord's anger burned against Israel, and for a long time He kept them under the power of Hazazel, king of Aram, and Ben-Hadad, his son. He punished them right in their face even for some of this stuff, though He's already promised to take them beyond the river. Faithful Judah. Asa, king of Judah, was faithful. He was faithful. Jehu, king of Israel, was not faithful. He was a backslider. And he didn't get saved later either. He was a backslider straight out and all the way to the end. Though he executed judgment on Ahab's household, killed Ahab's son. And he killed Jezebel also. 2 Kings 17. Oh, we are not going to finish this today. No, not even close. In the 12th year of Ahaz, king of Judah. Ahaz was a bad king of Judah, by the way. Judah had some bad kings. Hoshea, son of Elah, became king of Israel in Samaria, and he reigned 9 years. He did evil in the eyes of the Lord, but not like the kings of Israel who preceded him. Nevertheless, Shalmaneser, king of Assyria, came up to attack Hoshea, who had been Shalmaneser's vassal, and paid him tribute. Shalmaneser has a giant obelisk near the city of Nineveh where it shows the king of Israel, northern tribes, bringing the gold and kissing the ground in front of his feet. Tell me there's no record of Israel in ancient antiquity. It's all over the place. The Babylonian kings have records of taking Judah captive to Babylon. It's all over there. I don't care what Saddam Hussein wanted to show. It's there. It's right there on the walls. Right there carved in the walls. The king Zedekiah being brought in chains to Babylon, blinded. And you have the record of Israel, Jehu and the others, Omri, Zimri, and a lot of those other kings bringing tribute to the king of Assyria and kissing the ground in front of his feet as a vassal slave. Yeah. They want to serve God. How'd that go? You didn't want too hard to serve God? We can't do English, but too hard to serve God, so we're going to serve the Assyrians. Too hard to serve God and be a free country and a free people, so we're going to serve the Assyrians.
Is that working now, probably?
Yeah, it's on the way right now. They don't know it. But the king of Assyria discovered that Hoshea was a traitor, for he had sent envoys to So, king of Egypt, and he no longer paid tribute, as he had done year by year. Therefore Shalmaneser seized him and put him in prison. Oops. You know, it's after this that Sennacherib comes up to Jerusalem, and Hezekiah spreads the letter out and gets on his face before God in the temple of God. Hezekiah got delivered, amen. Hezekiah got delivered. His dad, or his son, becomes a vassal of Assyria. But Hezekiah was righteous, and he served Yahweh God, and he lived by his commandments, his statutes, and decrees. He cleaned the temple out and reinstituted temple worship, and they had a Passover in Israel, in Judah, during the days of Hezekiah like they had never had before. And God honored them and delivered them from the hands of their oppressors. But the Israelites, the northern tribes, the ones who got that rebel spirit, what if I could sing Dixie? The king of Assyria invaded the entire land, marched against Samaria, and laid siege to it for 3 years. In the ninth year of Hoshea, the king of Assyria captured Samaria and deported the Israelites. They made them strip naked, they chained them together, and they marched them out barefoot through the desert. Wasn't nice. Some of them had hooks put in their nose so they wouldn't run away, because you had to rip your nose off to break the chains. Isn't it what God said to them? God told one of the kings, I'm going to put a hook in your nose and take you to Assyria. That's what they did. The Assyrians weren't cool people. Seems like to me it would have been better to have worshipped God and done what He said and lived by His statutes, His commandments, and His laws, which are not burdensome, than to have to be ruled over by these wicked, cruel Gentiles who are burdensome.
Amen.
Come on now. We're skipping lots of stuff here. There's a lot of stuff these people did to them that were very hard. All this took place because the Israelites had sinned against the Lord their God, who brought them out of Egypt from under the power of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. They worshipped other gods and followed the practices of the nations the Lord had driven out before them, as well as the practices that the kings of Israel had introduced. The Israelites secretly did things against the Lord their God that were not right. From watchtower to fortified city, they built themselves high places in all their towns. They set up sacred stones and Asherah poles on every high hill and under every spreading tree. At every high place they burned incense, as the nations whom the Lord had driven out before them had done, and they did wicked things that provoked the Lord to anger. They worshipped idols. The Lord had said, you shall not do this. The Lord warned Israel and Judah through all His prophets and seers, turn from your evil ways. Observe My commandments. Observe My commandments. Now what's so difficult about that? You know, and decrees in accordance with the entire Torah that I commanded your fathers to obey and that I delivered to you through My servants the prophets. But they would not listen. They would not listen. They were stiff-necked as their fathers, who did not trust the Lord their God. They rejected His decrees and the covenant He made with their fathers and the warnings He had given them. They followed worthless idols and themselves became worthless. They imitated the nations around them, although the Lord had ordered them, do not do as they do. Now I know we step on toes in here sometimes. We teach you the plain truth about Christmas, pagan celebration. When you do as the pagans do, you bring all this wrath on yourself. You're living among the lost tribes. This is where you're going. We have to follow the commandments and statutes of God. When God says Saturday's the Sabbath, we have to give Him the Sabbath. When God says the Feast of Tabernacles and the Feast of Shavuot and the Feast of Pesach are the ones that three times a year you must come up to obey, then buddy, when it comes to that time, you better be at one of them sites. Come on now, they're all over the country. You better be at one of them sites. I got a good friend who left our company and said that we're supposed to go to Israel for the Feast of Sukkot. So now she doesn't keep Sukkot at all. By the traditions of men, you make null the law of God. The law of God says keep the Feast of Sukkot in the seventh month from the 15th day to the 22nd day. If you can't go to Israel, you keep it where you can keep it. You don't make the law of God of none effect by your traditions of men. You keep the holy days. As a matter of fact, four or five times in Exodus, and Numbers, and Deuteronomy, it says, "Thou shalt not fail to appear before me." Now, I don't know how he's going to say it. My dad had a little saying, don't make me tell you twice. When God tells you four and five times, don't fail to appear. Hey, I don't know about you, but the back of my head is flat for a reason. It's been hit a few times. After a couple of those, I will not fail to appear. Huh? Now, I don't know. Maybe you need to have the back of your head flattened like the back of mine, but I'm telling you, it's easier to show up at Sukkot. Some of y'all didn't get that. Maybe y'all's daddy didn't whoop you like mine did. But I mean, after a couple of whoopings, you figure it out. Huh? I don't know what it is about pain on the backside that makes the synapses work up here, but man, it like nothing else. Pain on the backside makes the synapses fire. They fire good, they fire true, they fire clear. Right? A couple of whoopings and you'll be there. But you know what? You don't have to go through no whoopings. I'm telling you straight. Just go to Sukkot and be happy, man. I mean, you know. They forsook all the commandments of the Lord their God and made for themselves two idols cast in the shape of calves and an Asherah pole. And they bowed down to all the story hosts and they worshiped Baal. They sacrificed their sons and daughters in the fire. They practiced divination and sorcery. Look at all the palm readers you find all over. We're practicing divination and sorcery all over. There was an article in the paper here 2 years ago. There's more Wiccans here than we could ever imagine. We're turning back to everything we did in the past. Make sure you stay clean. Make sure you stay clean. And they sold themselves to do evil in the eyes of the Lord, provoking Him to anger. So the Lord was very angry with Israel. And He removed them from His presence. Only the tribe of Judah was left. Faithful Judah under Hezekiah, coming back to the Lord their God with a revival we would just love to have for ourselves. Backsliding Israel is going into captivity. But they leave their signs. They leave the signs. They leave signs in the geography. They leave signs in the place names that trace them all the way to where they are to this day. Hey, that's pretty cool, isn't it? You can look this up. This what I'm going to tell you over the coming weeks is not something that you're going to have to dig. You can find it. It's there. And even Judah did not keep the commands of the Lord their God. They followed the practices Israel had introduced. Therefore, the Lord rejected all the people of Israel. He afflicted them and gave them into the hands of plunderers until He thrust them from His presence. When He tore Israel away from the house of David, they made Jeroboam, son of Nebat, their king. Jeroboam enticed Israel away from following the Lord and caused them to commit a great sin. And the Israelites persisted in all the sins of Jeroboam and did not turn away from them until the Lord removed them from His presence as He warned through His servants and prophets. So the people of Israel were taken from their homeland into exile in Assyria, and at the time of this writing in the land of Judah, they are still there. Now, people don't realize this, but about 100 years after... 30 years before Judah goes into captivity in Babylon, Babylon conquered Assyria and drove them out of the Middle East. And their trail is just as known as the Israelites. They went north of the Black Sea and into modern day Europe. The house of Israel followed them. From north of the Middle East, across the Black Sea, and into modern day Europe. And their trail is known. I'll give you a clue. No, those are not my notes. Dan will be a serpent's tail. That's in Genesis. Jacob prophesied that over his son Dan. He'll be a serpent by the way. Dan, and you can look this up in Judges. And in the Kings and the Chronicles, they left their name on everything. They named everything after Dan, the father of their tribe. They were a small tribe. They were disregarded. People thought they were a bunch of worthless ruffians. Okay? So they were very proud of themselves and they put their name on everything. But remember, in the Hebrew, you have consonants and no vowels. Right? You can go from north of the Black Sea. You got the Danube. Ooh, I'm feeling that. You feeling that? The Dnieper, the Dniester, all the way across Europe, they left the name Dan. Huh? It's all over. Get a map out. I mean, any map. You know, this is not something you got to dig out of some private book somewhere that we're heading off as a cult. This is right there on the map. Their name goes from north of the Black Sea all the way over to Ireland. And no, that's the next time sermon. The people who invaded Ireland before the Assyrian captivity were called the Tuatha De Danann, or the tribe of Dan in ancient Gaelic. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's all right there. It's all right there in history. These people got thrown out because they sinned. Verse 34, same chapter. To this day they persist in their former practices. To this day they persist in their former practices. Now, they moved the Israelites out and they brought a bunch of pagan people into what's called Samaria. This is where you get the Sumerians. And the Sumerians worshipped all the gods the same as they'd been doing, their little pagan gods from wherever they came. And Yahweh sent lions among them to kill them because they did not honor Yahweh in the land of Israel. So the king of Assyria sent one of the low-life priests of the backslidden northern tribe to teach them the ways of the God of the Lamb. And they continued their syncretized religion, the mixture. That's why the Jews would have nothing to do with the Samaritans, because they claim to follow the Torah when they live like the heathen. Now you think about that situation for Christians. We claim to follow the God of the Judeo-Christian Bible, but we live like the heathens, and they're like, no, we're not having no part of that. Hey, look, when they got carried to Babylon, they learned their lesson. Huh? They've been loyal and faithful and straight since. We're the ones that got carried away and just persisted. Just the way we've always done. Unto this day. Verse 35, when the Lord made a covenant with the Israelites, He commanded them, do not worship any other gods or bow down to them, serve them or sacrifice to them. But the Lord who brought you out of Egypt with mighty power and outstretched arms is the one you must worship. To Him you shall bow down. To Him you shall offer sacrifice. You must always be careful to keep the decrees, ordinances, the laws, and the commandments He wrote for you. That is technical language telling you all of the Torah is what you must live by. All of the Torah. You must always be careful. Do not worship other gods. Do not forget the covenant I made with you, and do not worship other gods. Rather, worship the Lord your God. It is He who will deliver you from the hand of your enemies. They would not listen, however, but persisted in their former practices. Even while these people were worshiping the Lord, they were serving their idols. To this day, their children and grandchildren continue to do as their fathers did. This is why you see what you see going on in the Middle East. This is why you see what you see going on in the world today. This is how things got in the mess they're at. And a lot of churches don't go over this. Let's go to Ezekiel 4. People don't realize this. Ezekiel was a Jewish man, a descendant of priests, who was carried captive in the first captivity of Judah by Nebuchadnezzar. And yet God tells him, I'm sending you to the rebellious house of Israel, who was sent captive 130 years prior. Ezekiel's message is not for the Jewish people. He was told, tell your message to the rebellious house of Israel, who are already gone. Who've already been gone. Look, I'm trying to find out my genealogy from Prentice County, Mississippi from 130 years ago. You just about can't get it done. They've been gone 130 years. And he's told to go to Israel. What does that mean? Well, since he can't take it to the live people of his day, this book is for you. The rebellious house. Way down south in the land of cotton. Hey, we love our rebels. Come on now. We love being a rebel. Look how it permeates our culture. Rebel without a cause. I mean, it permeates our culture to be rebellious to this day. Just like the Word of God says. We can't help it. It's in our genes. Now, son of man, take a clay tablet. Am I starting? Yeah. and put it in front of you and draw the city of Jerusalem on it. Then lay siege to it, erect siege works against it, and build a ramp up to it, set up camps and put battering rams. Then take an iron pan and place it as an iron wall between you and the city and turn your face toward it. It will be under siege and you shall besiege it. This is a sign to the house of Israel. Not Judah. Not Judah. This is a sign to Israel. Wow. That changes everything, doesn't it? He's put an iron wall between our nation and Him, and He's going to besiege us and not hear our cries. Why? Because we don't walk in His commandments. We've rejected His Torah. He's told us over and over again through the prophets, turn back to my Torah. In the book, I have a quote from Isaiah. Bind up the law among my disciples. To the law and the testimony. Bind up the Torah among my disciples. Where else is that used? It's used of Jesus talking to His disciples. We, the disciples of Yeshua, have got to bind up the Torah with us. We have to. If we don't, we're going to be looking at that iron pan. Then lie on your left side and put the sin of the house of Israel upon yourself. Not Judah, Israel. You are to bear their sin for the number of days you lie on your side. I have assigned you the same number of days as the years of their sin. For 390 days you will bear the sin of the house of Israel. They sinned for 390 years in the land straight out. They sinned in the land for 390 days, and now Ezekiel's got to lie on his side and bear that for 390 days as a sign to Israel, not Judah. He will bear Judah's sins afterwards. But this is Israel. This is Israel. But I wanted you to see the day for a year. He had to bear it out one day for every year. Now this works back and forth. The Israelites refused to go up, right, and take the land. The scouts were in the land for 40 days and God made them bear a year for a day. For every day the scouts went up and then came back and brought a false report, they had to wander in the wilderness for 40 years. Day for a year. Because this is very important, the day for a year. The day for a year is important. I'm going to take you to a place in Leviticus and I'm going to show you something where the day of the year is going to really count up and it's going to be something important to you. Exodus 31. Well, I didn't read through 15, but in Ezekiel here, he's going to have to drop on down here. I want to see you this. Verse 12. Ezekiel 4, verse 12. Eat the food as you would a barley cake. Bake it in the sight of the people using human excrement for fuel. Don't tell me God doesn't get straight. Because in the Hebrew, it's not that nice a language as I just read it. Then I said, not so, sovereign Lord, I've never defiled myself. From my youth until now, I have never eaten anything found dead or torn by wild animals. No unclean meat has ever entered my mouth. This man Ezekiel's followed the dietary laws the whole time. Don't tell me we get rebellious about that in the South. Now, come on, I grew up here. Very well, they said, I will let you bake your bread over cow manure instead of human excrement. Then he said to me, son of man, I will cut off the supply of food in Jerusalem. The people will eat rationed food in anxiety and drink rationed water in despair. For food and water will be scarce and they will be appalled at my sight, at the sight of each other, and will waste away because of their sin. So he's making them eat their food in uncleanness. And we persist in unclean food to this day. Number one problem in the South, when you quit eating pork and shrimp and shellfish, that's the biggest issue you'll face, man. People will give you a pass on the Sabbath, but when you won't go down and eat the ham, when you won't go down and eat the shellfish, people get up in your face over it. Why? God said, don't put it in my mouth. He said, Ezekiel, I have never been defiled in my whole life. From a child, I have never put anything unclean into my mouth. Ezekiel's a pretty cool guy, right? God says cool things to Ezekiel, doesn't he? Ezekiel's called one of the major prophets. Hey, you got to see the throne of God. Come on now, think about that. He was caught up in visions and saw stuff most of us would give our right arm to be able to see with our eyes. Don't tell me walking in dietary laws doesn't clean up your sight in the Holy Ghost, because I got Ezekiel right here as proof of it. But he's now going to give the Israelites over to unclean food. As it is this day. See, there are so many proofs in the Bible. Exodus, I want to show you why they're lost. Exodus, why they're lost. Exodus 31. We read this all the time in here. Some of y'all should be able to recite this by just from memory. This is one of the most important things in your Bible. You need to grab a hold of this. This Exodus 31, 12 through whatever we stop. I mean, you need to hold on to that, man. This is power word. It will sustain you through trouble. I'm talking serious trouble. I'm talking about when the sheriff comes to your house with the foreclosure papers, you got to get out. This will sustain you through trouble. I'm talking about trouble. When you go to the cupboard and there's one egg and your wife and your daughter share it and you go without, this will sustain you through trouble. Come on now. Some of y'all have been in trouble. Some of y'all just haven't. This will sustain you. Exodus 31 verse 12. Then Yahweh said to Moshe, say to the Israelites, you must observe my Sabbaths. This is a sign between you and I for the generations to come. The Hebrew is ha'olam, forever. This is a sign between me and you forever. This sign will never go away. In the kingdom of God, this will still be the sign. On the other side of the kingdom of God, when we're turned loose in the universe, that will still be the sign. Amen. Forever. This is the sign. That you may know that I am Yahweh who makes you holy. You want to be holy? You want to walk in holiness? You got to live by the Torah, but this is the sign that He's the one that makes you holy. Observe the Sabbath because it is holy to you. Anyone who desecrates it must be put to death. Whoever does any work on that day must be cut off from his people. For 6 days work is to be done, but the seventh day, not the eighth day, is a Sabbath of rest, holy to the Yahweh. Anyone who does any work on the Sabbath must be put to death. They said that, what, twice already? The Israelites are to observe the Sabbath, celebrating it. Celebrating it. Not just organized time out. Celebrating the Sabbath, like we did in here, for generations to come as a lasting covenant, forever. It's a permanent covenant, forever. It will be a sign between me and the Israelites forever, for in 6 days Yahweh made heaven and earth, and on the seventh day He abstained from work and rested. That will carry you. You will know and know that you know and know that you know that you know that Yahweh is your God when you keep the seventh day. That's His sign. That's His sign to you. That He's the one that makes you holy. That He's the one that puts His Spirit in you. That He's the one that is preserving you as a people to Himself. That's your sign. That's your sign. Ezekiel kept it. Noah kept it. Daniel kept it. Job kept it. Abraham kept it. Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, all of these people lived these things. It was orally passed down by mouth until Moses wrote it down. But they kept it. You can go to Genesis 26 and look it up, where God tells Yitzhak that I'm going to make my covenant with you because Abraham kept my commandments, my statutes, my decrees, and my judgments. That's technical, legal Hebrew language for the Torah. They're all the rules in the Torah. Abraham kept it. God said so. God told you, hey, Isaac, Abraham kept it. How are you going to argue with that? Oh, Abraham didn't keep all that. Well, God said he did. Are you calling a liar? You know what I'm saying? When Billy said that, Billy didn't say Abraham kept it. Yahweh told Isaac when he renewed the covenant with him that Abraham kept it. I don't know how much more sure word you get than that. Verse 16. Oh, I'm sorry, we read all that already. Judah kept the Sabbath and the Torah, and they kept their identity as the chosen, holy people of God, tested in truth through the years. They didn't always do everything right, but you go upstairs and there's not a one of them does not know when the Sabbath is. He may go to work on it, but he knows it's the Sabbath. Huh? Think about it. Hey, they have four Torahs in the ark up there. I've been privileged to see them. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful scrolls. They may not live by every rule in it, but they know it's the Torah, and they know it's in there, and they know they're supposed to. These people over here abandoned Sabbath worship the day they left Rehoboam, son of Solomon, and they lost their identity as the people of God. They don't know who they are. Why? Because they didn't keep the Sabbath, and they didn't keep the Torah. While these folks may not have been perfect, we're not either. Huh? They preserved it. These people abandoned it. And they're lost. Goyim, the word for Gentile, means lost and out of covenant with God. Huh? What do we call them? The lost need to get saved, right? We call them the lost. You know what we use? People who are out of covenant with God, they call them the lost, right? Doesn't this connect? They're the lost. And in need of being restored. Big time bad. God loves these people. He calls Ephraim His firstborn son. Oh, Ephraim, Ephraim, how can I ever lose my love for you? Joseph, prince among his brothers. He loves these people, but they got to come back to the covenant. He's not going to change the covenant to bring them back in. They've got to come back to the covenant. So that's what's being preached to you. Return to the covenant. Return to the covenant. That we can all be together again. One stick in the hand of Yahweh God. That's in Ezekiel also. That's in Ezekiel also. Israel and the northern tribes abandoned the Torah and the Sabbath and they lost their identity. They're lost but still Israel. God wants obedience. Real quickly, 1 Samuel 15. 1 Samuel 15. God wants obedience, man. And you know what? As people who are Holy Ghost baptized, we should want it. Because Jesus lived a perfectly obedient life. And the Holy Spirit, as it says in 2 Corinthians 3, is Jesus living in you. Jesus living in you. He wants to walk by the Torah through your body. Now, He's already shown He can do it because He perfectly walked the Torah out in His body. When are we going to get out of His way? When are we going to let the Jesus that lives in us walk out His Torah in our body? See, we have it easy and we still won't do it. You know, it's that ornery thing. It must be in the South. I don't know. We got that little way down south thing keeps coming up in there, you know. Jesus would like to walk the Torah out in our body, but we have to step aside and let Him do it. And we keep bowing up and saying, well, I don't know if I want to do all that. Why? What's so hard about it? What's so hard about it? Medical science and physical science and chemical science is all showing that the Torah is true. Amen? You have a heart attack. First thing they tell you, get off the pork. First thing, I walk into the fishmonger in Daytona Beach and I'm looking at fish and, well, I got to have this, I got to have that. Oh, you don't eat shellfish? No, I eat shellfish. Hey, people don't know that, but shrimp and lobster got the most cholesterol of any food you can eat. He volunteered it and he's a seller of it. Medical science, chemical science, physical science is confirming that the Torah is true. So what's not to like? What's not to like? You know, Smith Wigglesworth wouldn't eat this mess. Did y'all know that? They went in to bless the pig barbecue one time and said, I can't bless what God has cursed. You know how Smith Wigglesworth died? He lifted up his hands to God in the service and gave up the ghost in praise. He didn't die of sickness, illness, pain, suffering, or nothing. He just gave up the ghost in church and he saw the heavens open and went on through, baby. That's the way to go. But see, we don't want to walk the way that will let us get the way. We just keep wanting God to do it for us anyway. But He's written how much history in this book He's not going to do that for us? We got to get straight with Him and then He'll do it for us. Not He does it for us and we get straight later. No, we got to get straight now. 1 Samuel 15, verse 22. Samuel, speaking the words of Almighty God, by the Holy Spirit, I might add, does the Lord delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices? Though the law requires them to be made, as it says in Hebrews. Hebrews is quoting this. As much as in obeying the voice of the Lord, you can bring all your offerings to church you want to. You know, hey, how many of y'all know this? The tithes aren't an offering. The tithes are your duty. When you bring only your tithes, that's all. You've done nothing. You've done nothing. But the offerings and the sacrifices you bring, what are they in comparison to your obedience? Nothing. It's walking that life, man. It's walking that life. And you know, the Torah defines your freedom. I can't tell you rules just because I like it, and I won't. The rules are in the Torah. They're here for everybody. We all got the same book. It also has the same rules. I can't come in here and put something on you that's not in the Torah, and I won't. You can't put something on nobody else that's not in the Torah. Because the Torah is what you got to follow. If it ain't in the Torah, hey, go have fun. Right? To obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed is better than the fat of rams. For rebellion is like the sin of divination, and arrogance like the evil of idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of God, He has rejected you as king. We were called to be a nation of kings and priests of God, and if we want to be accepted as kings under Yeshua in the kingdom of God, we have to take His law. If we reject His law, we will not be kings in the kingdom. I can promise you that. I don't care who you are, I don't care what church you go to, I don't care how much you've done for the Lord, if you reject His law, you will not be ruling in the kingdom of God. You can bet your salvation on that one. Because that's what He's going to rule His kingdom by. He's going to rule His kingdom by the Torah, and if you're not following, you're not walking it, you're not willing to come under it, why would you make a police chief in a city a man who doesn't follow the laws of the city? Come on. Think about it. I mean, it's just common sense. The Lord's not going to do something stupid, because He's smart. We're the ones that do stuff that's stupid because we're not so smart as He is. Now, let's go to Leviticus. I want to get back to the day for a year, and I'm going to close this out with proving a major proof of how I can say the United States is Israel. Leviticus 26 and verse 1. Now, I want you to notice this because, I mean, this is what they broke right here. Do not make idols or set up an image or a sacred stone for yourselves, and do not place a carved stone in your land or bow down before it. I am Yahweh Eloheinu. What'd they do? Set up two golden calves, made an Asherah pole, and they bowed down to it. What's the next one? Observe my Sabbaths. Ditch that for Sunday right off the bat. Observe my Sabbaths and have reverence for my sanctuary. I am Yahweh. Okay, now look. People claim the blessings of this book all the time, right? You can't claim the blessings if you're not walking what it says. You can claim what you want, but if you're not walking this, it ain't gonna happen. I got news for you. If you follow my decrees and are careful to obey my commandments, I will send you rain in its season, and the ground will yield its crops, and the trees of the field will yield their fruit. Your threshing will continue until grape harvest, and the grape harvest will continue until planting, and you will eat all the food you want and live in safety in your land. Who doesn't want that? Man, if that ain't worth walking by the Torah, I don't know what is, man. That's called goodness and happiness and joy in your land. I will grant peace in the land, and you will lie down, and no one will make you afraid. Hey, that's pretty cool right there. I will remove the savage beast from the land, and the sword will not pass through your country. What's not to like about the Torah? What's not to like about the Torah? This looks like a pretty good prescription to me, man. Press hard, 5 copies. Sign me up. I want in. You will pursue your enemies and they will fall by the sword before you. 5 of you will chase 100. Have you ever heard that 1 of you will chase 100? They didn't get the verse right. It's 5 of you will chase 100. And 100 of you will chase 10,000, not 2. It pays to read the whole book. You can dig the details out. God's in the details. And your enemies will fall by the sword before you. Now you think about that national promise. No enemy power will ever be able to stand before your nation. You will militarily defeat everybody who challenges you. You will have all the food you can eat. And as he's going to say here shortly, you will have to throw away the food from last year when the food from this year comes in, because you'll still have last, you've eaten out of last year's crop. What's not like about the Torah? Oh, it's something about that Sabbath day, right? Or, oh yeah, we got to pass by the pit barbecue. Hey, a man roasted us, barbecued for us, a sirloin tip, John did, and it's better than any pork shoulder you ever had in your life. Come on now. Come on. I mean, hey, you get to eat better food under the Torah. Hey, God doesn't give His people second best. First best, all the way. And I will look on you with favor. Now, who doesn't want Yahweh to look on them with favor? Amen? Come on now. I will make you fruitful and increase your numbers, and I will keep my covenant with you, and you will still be eating last year's harvest when you have to move it out of the way to make room for the new. Come on, that's awesome. I will put my dwelling place among you. Now who doesn't want the presence of God right among us? I will not abhor you. I will walk among you and be your God, and you will be my people. I am Yahweh Eloheinu, who brought you out of Egypt so that you would no longer be slaves to the Egyptians. I broke the bars of your yoke and enabled you to walk with your heads held high. That's pretty cool stuff, man. But, there's always that but. If you walk in disobedience to my Torah, if you don't hearken to my laws and commandments, you don't listen to my laws, my statutes, my decrees, you reject me. If you will not listen, carry out all these commandments and reject my decrees and abhor my laws and fail to carry out all my commands and so violate my covenant, then I will do this to you. I will bring on you sudden terror. You know, like the Twin Towers? wasting diseases like cancer, fever that will destroy your sight and drain away your life. You will plant seed in vain because your enemies will eat it. And I will set my face against you so that you will be defeated by your enemies. Those who hate you will rule over you and you will flee even when no one is pursuing. Even if after all this you will not listen to me, I will punish you for your sins seven times over. Now, Daniel and Revelation each call a time, a prophetic year of 360 days. Don't have the minutes to go through that, but if you go and look at each of those, you will see that. 42 months is 1,260 days. Divided out, it's 30 days in a month. He's going to punish them seven times for their sins. 360 days times seven is 2,520 days. A day for a year, like we went over in Ezekiel. I'm going to make you bear their punishment a day for a year. That comes to 2,520 years. The northern kingdoms went into captivity around 720 B.C. And two nations on earth. I hope you're feeling it like I'm feeling it when I'm telling you this. Two nations right around 1800, 1803, all of a sudden burst into national prominence and greatness from total obscurity. Britannia now becomes the dominant naval power and rules the ocean. America gets the Louisiana Purchase. Oh, are you feeling this? Gets the Louisiana Purchase with all the grain belts and all enough grain that we are eating 5 years ago's harvest, thank you, when we make room for the new. All the oil wealth. And we explode into national prominence in exactly the prophesied time period from the time we were taken out of the land